This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it is a Friday here on Ben and Woods this morning. Welcome in. Let's get our heads right. Great to be here with you. And TGI MFF is how I look at it. It's been a long week this week, I think, but a good week. I think it's been a good week, and we'll try to finish strong for you today. I'm Woodsy, and co-host of this program with my pal Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, and joining us again. This I can't see his head at all. Oh, there it is. He's got it covered with a hat today. Bald Rindel, Adam Klug, welcome in. Also. Happy birthday to our pal, Adam Klug. Good morning.
No place I'd rather be on my birthday, gentlemen.
Nothing like having to get up at the ass crack of dawn on your birthday and come in and work with two yahoos, one of them who mocks you incessantly and is also your subordinate. It's got to be a fun way to spend it. What would you have done had you not had to come in today?
I mean,
breakfast in bed?
No. It's Friday. It's still be working.
Okay. But?
Yeah, what's your dream day? Like your dream birthday.
What's your dream birthday?
Doesn't involve coming here. Let's not pretend you love work so much that you'd be here for your birthday just because you like it so much.
Right. Well, at least not
could
at 6 a.m.
I sleep in until 8 o'clock.
Sure. Whatever you want. It's your birthday.
I'm asking that of my children.
Right. Would they let you?
No.
I haven't seen 8 o'clock.
No.
In a long, long time.
Let's say magically you have a nanny who takes the kids, whisks them away to the fair. You have an entire day to yourself. What do you do with it, Adam? What's your ideal day? I still don't know that much about Adam.
Yeah,
Klug.
I don't either. He doesn't give a lot.
Wouldn't go play golf. He doesn't go. What would he do on his ideal day?
So as I sat there last night, remembering it was his birthday. I mean, it's better than I did with your birthday. I forgot entirely for 2.5 hours, as someone just pointed out in the chat. That won't happen again. You can rest assured. You're going to hate your birthday from every year on out. Trust me. It's going to be the biggest GD celebration you've ever seen.
I'm thinking about legally changing my birthday just so you don't know when it is. Can you do that? Can people legally change their birthday?
I don't know that I've ever felt so bad and like a bigger piece of S in my life that day when Ben looked at us and said, I have to bring something up. It's a little bit awkward for me. And I just remember sitting here going, what could it be? And sure enough, we missed his birthday. And I was sitting there last night thinking that today is Adam's birthday. And I thought, what? Can I be honest 100%? I thought, what around the house can I grab to bring for him for his birthday? That's a true statement. I wasn't going to go buy anything because it was, 6 o'clock at night. But I thought, there's got to be something here that I can bring him because I've got booze. I didn't want merch or anything.
I'm surprised you didn't offer me a rally towel.
A rally towel? I know you have plenty of those. I don't have a Kirby Smart autographed helmet anywhere. If I did, I would give it to you, a Herschel Walker signed bag or something. It's yours. I don't need it. I'm trying to get rid of stuff in my house. So this morning I walked into the kitchen and I looked up in the cabinet and I had a really nice bottle of champagne. But I thought, it's not mine. It's my wife's. She'd probably be mad, even though she doesn't really drink it. And I had this really nice bottle of bourbon. And I thought, well, does he even like bourbon? And then I thought,
he's Southern. He has to like bourbon.
I thought in my mind, Ben, I go, he went to Georgia. Of course he likes bourbon. It's a bit there. Are you a bourbon man? What are you?
More of a Scotch guy.
You're a Scotch guy. Okay, I do have a good bottle of Scotch I could have brought you. All right, that's an IOU from me to you. My bottle
of... You don't have to do that.
Of Dewars. What do you, Scotch on the rocks?
Yeah.
Scotch and water?
I like Scotch on the rocks.
I do too. I really like Scotch. I was in a big Scotch phase for about a year. It was embarrassing. You know how I've told about my phases before. I had a Hawaiian shirt phase. I had a wine phase. Wine Woods was the worst.
You had a wine phase.
The Wine Woods was the worst version of me you've ever seen.
Like, what were you? Pinot? Cab?
No, I was, go to a bar. It was in my 20s. Right. Go to a bar and order a bottle of wine and walk around with a bottle of wine in a glass. Like a complete...
Walk around with a bottle
yes.
of wine in a glass.
Yeah, like I thought it was Eddie Vedder or something. It was horrible.
I mean, you guys
it's
know
embarrassing.
This. I've told you this story, but you know, I
hate myself.
I deal with gout, The doctor told me beer is literally the worst thing you can drink, and so I haven't had a sip of beer in several months ever since I kind of got this diagnosis.
Yeah,
and so I met some buddies, my assistant coaches from my son's baseball team, at Carl Strauss a couple weeks ago, and I'm sitting there drinking a glass of red wine.
Yeah.
At Carl Strauss.
Yeah,
and I felt like a jerk.
Yeah, you feel like a clown a little bit.
I'm still fascinated by Woods walking around.
Ben,
just carrying a bottle of wine in his own glass.
That was the worst, man.
White or red?
No,
red wine.
Robe
usually.
Was red.
Red wine.
Yeah, I don't like white wine.
Okay.
I'm not a soccer mom. I don't drink white wine.
A little buttery Chardonnay.
I know I live in Encinitas, but I'm not a soccer
mom. Totally picture
Woods
with a white Zinfandel.
That's disgusting. That's pink, actually, Adam. Yeah, Pinot Grigio. Come on. No, it was red wine. I was an idiot, man. It's embarrassing to talk about. It's embarrassing. Those days were very embarrassing.
Are you wearing a beret, too?
No, just a normal clothes, just a total DB. I will wear it 100%.
Would you, like, pour some for other people as you walked around as well? Like,
Andros says, why even carry the glass? Just drink it straight from the bottle. I'm sure I did, man. I was just the worst. It wasn't sideways. It was way pre-sideways. I just said it. I saw Eddie Vedder do it on stage. I thought he looked cool, so I thought I would do it. It's embarrassing, man. It's embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. I'm red.
I'm more worried about the fact that even Adam doesn't know what he'd do with Adam's free day.
Yeah,
Adam's day off.
I haven't had a free day in years.
Don't give me that. You sound like my wife. Give me a break. Yes, you have.
Away
yes,
from
you
my
have.
Wife
I mean, would
kids?
You go to movies? Would you go to the?
We're just trying to find out
hiking.
What
I
are
mean,
you
what
interested
you do?
In?
You don't play golf. You don't.
You don't play softball.
Would you
just go to a sports?
I don't have friends here. I moved here from somewhere else. I don't meet people.
Sports bar and watch.
I moved here from somewhere else. I have friends. You know why I have friends?
You're cool and I'm not.
Because I have interests.
Guess
if
what?
You have interests, you can make friends.
I live here. I don't really have
Ben
any friends.
Doesn't have any
and
friends.
I still have days that I can go out and have fun.
We're just trying to find out. What,
I'm not interested.
What do you want to do? What do you want to be? What do you want to do? I could ask the same question of both of you. You both drive me crazy. I'll tell you that right now. Because I don't see, like, you guys are such sports guys. That's it.
Woods,
it's sports.
Woods, on the way in this morning, at 5:15 in the morning, I was listening to a fantasy football podcast.
There you go.
He was
okay.
listening to PGA Tour Radio.
Do you guys have no interest in anything else, like cinema or art or music or... Or
no.
philosophy, anything,
not really,
nothing.
No.
No interest in learning more. I just don't understand.
I'm interested in learning which wide receiver is going to have a breakout season.
It's so good. Because he's now quizzing you, but I always ask, I want to quiz Ben. Like, no. So, okay, perfect example. Last night. So what did you do last night? Well, you had to work.
I was working.
So you had
night.
To do sports. What did you do last night after you put your kids down, Adam?
I watched TV.
What did you watch?
I finished an episode. I'm behind. I stopped in the middle of an episode. It's called Mayor of Kingstown with Jeremy
Renner.
Oh,
it's great, yeah. First season's great.
Well, there's season three just came out, so there's, I think, two episodes. And so I finished an episode. I hadn't finished.
Of season three?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Other than that, what would you do? Like, you have your shows, you have your programs.
I DVR PTI every day, and I watch PTI at night.
This is unbelievable.
Yes, Adam has definitely exceeded my tolerance even for sports.
It's incredible. It's incredible to me. So what I took last night as an advantage to, I started reading articles about records, and then I learned about some new bands, and I went and listened to those bands. I'm trying to expand my knowledge. And it's not.
Well, I expand my knowledge as well.
Of golf.
Not always.
And baseball.
I like to
football.
Go down Wikipedia rabbit holes to learn about things. Yesterday, I.
Okay,
got
good.
Curious
this is
about,
what I want.
I got curious about the Everglades. And so I was reading up about exactly what are the Everglades.
Now see, the most fascinating thing you've said all week long. That's incredible.
I've always heard about it. I know they're in Florida. I know they're like swampy, but why are they swampy? What causes the Everglades?
What prompted this?
That's a good question.
Were you watching a movie or something?
I think it may have just been simply like I saw Miami somewhere on a screen.
Okay.
And I thought, you know what? I don't know much about Florida. And
okay.
I went and looked at the map and I go, oh, yeah, the Everglades take up like Key West. And okay, well, how do you do that? Okay, so the Everglades. What are the Everglades? I know they're a swamp, but how does that exactly work? And I wanted to learn about it. So it's really just like a 60-mile-wide shallow river that just flows through southern Florida.
And they have all those
grasses,
reeds
yeah,
and stuff.
Sawgrass,
in them.
Reeds, and it's really not that hospitable even for animals. Alligators
Gators.
Love it. They
yeah.
love living in the sawgrass reeds of the Everglades.
That's where they make
their home.
And slinking around in there, eating people.
And what
people,
they do, and surprisingly, I didn't
kids.
Realize this. I thought, well, it's always wet. No, there are massive periods of drought in the Everglades as well. And what the gators do is they dig out areas where it stays wet, even in the dry season, which attracts, you know, like the birds and the other things that need the water, of course. Unfortunately, when they come to get the water, the alligator gets them, and that's how they feed themselves, by creating their little habitats with a little bit of a small pond for themselves.
Now, literally, I'm telling you, that is massively interesting, and it does. I can't tell you the delight that it brings me to think that you weren't going down a rabbit hole of, like, you know, greatest U.S. Open champions that never made it. You know what I mean? Like that makes me happy that you have other interests, because after 6 years together, I sometimes wonder what they are. You have none, almost.
I mean, I like to watch movies, you know, stuff. I'll watch movies on, you know, Netflix or whatever at night. I just watched Inception again for, you know, I've seen it obviously before, but I watched it again. It's excellent.
And no interest in, like, in books or anything like that. Do you read books? Sports bios.
Who has time to read books?
You make time.
No, I'd rather watch TV. Or read an article about sports.
You love sports.
So then I can then send you guys a note. Hey, yes. You guys read this, man. Great topic.
He loves sending us articles and topics. And I do appreciate that. But happy birthday to you, Adam. Also wanted to take a moment to shout out, because we won't get a chance to do it on Sunday. We don't work on Sunday. Shout out to all the dads out there.
You
as
can
you
work
know.
On Sunday if you'd like.
I do not want to work
arrange
on Sunday.
That.
No, no. It is Father's Day. Now, we celebrated Mother's Day weekend at my home, and I'm under the assumption that we're just going to be celebrating Father's Day. Maybe even not at all.
Father's breakfast.
Father's Day. I don't even know Father's Day is a thing after the last 24 hours that we've had. Crap Dad has made apparently another appearance in my home, and Bo and I are butting heads, as you know, you do on the first day of summer with your six-year-old. The first day of summer did not go... It didn't go incredibly well yesterday.
You're ready for school to start again.
Yeah, after one day. After one, one day of that. So happy Father's Day to all the good dads out there. And, you know, if you're a crap dad like I am right now, there's still time to pull yourself out of it. And I know the one thing I know about fatherhood is this. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to try, and you have to show up, and you have to keep at it. Like anything that you want to be successful at, it is absolutely the most rewarding, awful thing. It can be the most awful moment of your life, and it brings out the very best in me, and it brings out the absolute worst in me as well. And it's just about striking the balance, you know, between the two. Obviously, I love my kids more than anything. I love my dad. Shout out to my dad, Gary Woods, absolute angel. Your dad's a sweet, sweet angel, Chief. And Adam, how's your dad? Are you close with your dad?
Close enough.
Close enough.
He lives in Florida. We don't
in the Everglades.
We don't talk. Yes, in the Everglades. In the actual Sunshine State. He's not a big sports fan, though. Which is
so what do you relate
no common
to?
Interests.
So. What do you guys talk about? See, this is where it gets deep on an off day. We can get really into the weeds, the glades, on this thing. What do you talk about?
We don't talk a whole lot, to be honest.
Hmm. That's sad. Well, call them today.
That's really what sports are for. It's to
bring you together.
Give a conversation topic between two guys, fathers and sons, that don't have anything else to talk about otherwise.
Yeah.
There would be no conversation at my home whatsoever.
If it wasn't sports.
If it wasn't for sports. But fortunately, you know, my dad, my brother, I, we all love sports, and there's always a good conversation going. So it's very important for, you know, social connection.
That used to be all my dad and I had, too, I think, was sports. But we've grown a lot together.
You know, you talked about being there, being present, being a good dad, and it's remarkable how it's really only in the last generation or so. You know, our dads were good dads, but you go back and you watch like an episode of Mad Men, you know, dads barely even knew their kids, you know, 60, 70 years ago. It was not nearly, it's a fairly recent development, this emotional relationship between fathers and sons and daughters that didn't really, I mean, I'm sure there were parents that were more involved back in the day, but
those were like outliers.
Those were outliers.
It really was. I've had that conversation. I had it with my wife last week. I know we're running. We're fine. I had it with my wife last week, and she said something to the effect of, "There's something at the school," and I just said, "We were talking to our counselor about it," and I said to her, "I go, look, I'm trying my very best. I show up by coaching, and it's a lot, and it takes a lot out of me. I do that. If I can't make, we're celebrating the opening of our new garden at elementary school, not that there's anything wrong with it, I need to, like, I can't go to everything. Like, physically, mentally, I can't be at everything. But I do the, you know, I show up in other areas." And I told Hannah, I go, "Look, me and all the guys I know, we always have these conversations, and what it is we're just trying to do better. Not that our dads did, but like, I'm trying to be more involved. My dad worked like 8 a.m. till 7 p.m. I have the luxury of being home." And I said, "I'm trying to do the best that I can and show up to as many things as I can," which is, again, it's kind of a new phenomenon for a lot of men. And, I'm trying really hard at it. I do. I don't always succeed. I don't always succeed at being a good dad. I probably wasn't a great dad yesterday, but I'm going to try my ass off to be a great dad today.
If Paulie was here, he'd remind us that he doesn't have a dad.
Yeah, his dad abandoned.
We all feel really bad about
it. He does it to us every year.
Father's
at
Day.
This time.
It's like, great. Yeah, you must be lucky.
It's the worst.
You had dads.
It's the worst that he does it. He does it to us every year.
But he's still a little under the weather. Yep. And hopefully he'll be back on Monday.
Shout out to all the dads out there. We love you. We know how hard you're working. And what do we got between us? 7 kids in here? Jeez. It's a lot. It's a lot of work. Shout out to our wives, too, for doing a lot of the heavy lifting.
And shout out SD.
Shout out SD.
Started here in the morning. It is Ben Woods. Set the menu. It's more of a light buffet this morning as we go through until 10 o'clock on a Friday. But let's have some fun. Let's relax. Let's enjoy ourselves. Obviously, it's a Fryer Friday as well. You know what that means. But we'll tell you all about it when we come back. First check of traffic with Kelly as we get you to the weekend here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah. Hey, Adam, straight out the was there any residuals from your 40 jelly beans that you ate yesterday?
You mean like in terms of how I felt later?
Yeah. Yeah, like your stomach. Yeah,
like stomach ache or lack of appetite or anything.
I have an iron gut.
You do have an iron gut.
He really
does. We had round table pizza delivered a couple hours later. I was ready to go.
Did you crush some of that?
By the time I got back from that Chuki press conference, there was only like a slice left.
Oh, yeah, because sales got to it. There was plenty left when we left
Jackals,
the round table yesterday.
Jackals. You didn't get a chance to hear the round table?
I listened on the way home.
What'd you think?
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
I will tell you, though, that I had a whole conversation the afternoon before with Chris Ello, because I was in with the afternoon show, about showing up on time and being there for the round table, et cetera. And I was at the Chuque Lozano press conference, and it started at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And right at 10, right before the press started, I opened my phone, opened the YouTube app, and I go, "Oh, there's an empty seat there. I'm missing Chris Ello." And I was about to start cursing and make a phone call, but I was like, I need my phone to record this press conference. I was steaming
throughout
the press
conference. So what came up on the show that...
If you missed it, by the way, Chris did show up.
He did show up like 10 minutes late.
10 minutes in.
Correct.
He just happened to doze off.
He dozed off?
He just fell asleep as he was getting ready to come and be with us. I kind of understand that. You just think you're fine, and all of a sudden,
the business.
He just fell asleep and just wasn't here. And he woke up at 10:04 at that panicky feeling like, I'm supposed to be somewhere. I'm supposed to be on the air,
but had
and
it,
I'm not there.
Had it come up on their show about being late or on time? Because he's always been on time. That.
He came in and he said, Adam, I've got a doctor's appointment tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. And I canceled it. So that's kind of how it came up. He joked with me that he had a doctor's appointment, but he said he canceled. He's like, I would never miss the round table.
And then 10 minutes late.
At the time, I didn't know he was late. I thought something happened. I'm like, we had an extra chair set up and all this stuff, and it's empty.
You got to be careful of absolutes. By the way, I would never.
I will peel the curtain back a little on Chris Zello, because I love Chris. I used to host a show with Chris. Even before that, I worked with Chris at the old Mighty 690 way back in the day when he was the weekend host, and I would run his board from time to time. Chris is as knowledgeable as anyone when it comes to sports.
100%.
He's always well prepared for his show. He's never been the I get there early sort of guy. In fact,
he's always here early for the roundtable.
He's good for the roundtable, but back in the day, there would be times where he'd be like, just play my intro music long, because he had like that 4-minute intro song. I'll be there before the end of the music to start the show. But literally, I would start the show.
He's not here.
And he's not even sitting in the room yet.
The panic that it would get out of me is insane. That's not anything you'll ever have to worry about, Ben, if I haven't proven that.
It's the same way with me, and I used to work with Doug Gottlieb, and his whole thing, he was like that. He wants to be when he goes to fly in an airplane, he says he wants to be the last person through the runway. He literally goes, I want them to slam the door shut on me as I walk in, and I'm there 2 hours early, no matter what.
I've worked with two of the most opposite people. Yeah. Chris... Yeah, I'll be there. 5 seconds early is early. And Woods, who is 2 hours early, is late. I mean, you could not be more diametrically opposed when it comes to your ideas of what on time means.
I have a lot of faults. I have a lot of shortcomings. And that being said, that's not one of them. That is never one you have to worry about.
Another one like that.
It actually kind of is,
my
though.
My wife.
You're way too early.
No.
You're too early for things.
My wife is incapable of being on time. Literally incapable.
It would drive me crazy.
And I am early everywhere I go. And so it starts making my heart race.
Yeah.
When we're approaching the time that we're supposed to leave.
Yeah, it would drive me nuts. Drive me nuts.
If you did miss the roundtable, or even if you didn't, I'd like to. And so we had a few minutes at the end where we were kind of discussing, is there any of these players you want to invest in right now on the roster? I thought it was an interesting conversation, and I'd like to pick it up. I mean, if there is any money to spend, is it, Dylan Cease is going to be a free agent after next year. Michael King is going to be a free agent after next year. Louisa Rise is going to be a free agent after next year. Ha-Sung Kim is a free agent after this year. And then you've got a young stud, Jackson Merrill. They've already established, with Fernando Tatis Jr., that they're willing to buy out many years early to lock him up long term. Is there a player that you want to spend that long-term money on if the Padres are willing to do so? So we'll talk about that coming up. 7 o'clock hour, last chance this week to qualify for the trip to the Fontainebleau Las Vegas and take on Woods at 7:10. Don't do this. Our normal features in the 7 o'clock hour, and then guests in the second half of the program. A Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday, brought to you by Grand Ole Barbecue. Jordan Schusterman is going to be with us for a second straight week.
Love Jordy.
We always happy with either one of them, but we got Jordan this week. And then we'll have the manager's report with Mike Schilts joining us at 9 o'clock from the Big Apple. See how he spent his day off after a couple of wins. 5 wins in 6 games.
Any guesses?
There a Chipotle in near the team hotel?
My guess is yes. My guess is all that food. I went to Chipotle, got a burrito bowl. And
probably very happy with himself.
You got a problem with that, cuz?
So we'll get you ready for the Mets series coming up with the skipper, Mike Schilts, as we take you until 10 o'clock this morning with Ben and Woods. Don't go away. It's San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Rope Summer Baseball League and Camps. Today is the last day to call to register your ball player age 6 through 12 for the Baseball Summer League. Going to be awesome summer of player development featuring Bo Woods. Competition registration closes today. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com.
And hey, good luck, Coach Kurt. You got your hands full, bud.
Obviously, no Padres wrap-up with no game yesterday, which is fine. Everybody needs a day off. However, it'll be the interesting scenario today that both teams, Padres and Mets, are coming off walk-off home run wins. Padres, of course, coming off two straight.
Yeah.
And the Mets got a walk-off home run yesterday by J.D. Martinez. First one of his career.
Which is amazing to
think
about.
Two-run shot in the bottom of the ninth to beat the Miami Marlins 3-2. Yeah, J.D. Martinez, never with a walk-off.
Jackson Merrill's got a walk-off home run, and he's tied with J.D. Martinez for walk-off home runs in his his eight-week MLB career. J.D. Martinez has been doing it for a long time.
They did win the series. And the last two games, I don't know if that's a sign that the Mets are emerging from any of their early season struggles. They definitely have too many players underperforming, and their pitching staff has not been good. It's been ranked, I think, in the bottom five in all of baseball. So, hopefully the Padres have a chance to take advantage. But, today it's Sean Manaea on the mound, the old number five starter for the Padres against the new and improved number five starter in Matt Waldron, who will go back out after allowing just five runs in his last five starts. He's on the best run of his career right now. I actually get excited for Waldron days. I used to dread, oh no, it's Matt Waldron day. What are you going to get? Is he going to give up a bunch of early runs? Now I'm actually looking for Matt Waldron pitches and unleashing his knuckleball and, how he's been throwing it lately. So that's your matchup tonight.
You hope that it continues. Manaea actually started pretty decently for the Mets this year. And then June hit, Benny. He's 0-2 in June with a 10.61. He is a left-handed pitcher, though. And again, knowing that the Padres have still continued to scuffle against left-handed pitching, it's a crapshoot. It's a total crapshoot. You just don't know who's going to show up and if they're going to be able to scratch out any runs. And you do feel a lot better with the way that Waldron's pitched, that he can keep you in the ballgame, certainly, and you can get to Manaea and get into that bullpen.
Also, speaking of pitchers, really good day yesterday for future Padre Garrett Crochet. Seven innings, two hits, one earned run, 13 strikeouts. Future Padre Michael Kopech blew the lead but vultured the win as the White Sox beat the Mariners 3-2.
You're feeling that. Are you speaking that into existence?
I don't even know if I want it now. After talking to Eno yesterday, I think, and the point that was made that as good as he's been, and he's had ace stuff, and he showed it again yesterday.
It was unbelievable yesterday.
How many more innings does he have left this season? Now I'm domed out that you'll trade for him, and he's got like three starts left this year.
At some point, though, we have seen in baseball, guys get injured and then stay healthy. That has happened.
It has.
Yes, in the history of baseball, guys have gotten injured, had a long road back to recovery, and then have stayed healthy for a couple of 3 years. That's
specifically
happened.
In Crochet's case, it's not necessarily a case of will he stay healthy. It's more of an innings limit because he's never done it. He's coming back from a previous injury, and it's on a non-competitive team.
Okay.
If they don't trade him.
Who's going to want a ton for him because he's their best player and has lots of control. He'll have value probably even more so in the next 2 years. But you need him. You need him now. I mean, you're trying to win right now. And if he can't go more than 50 or 60 more innings and you're giving up
a huge
price tag to acquire him, does that really help the San Diego Padres?
Again, where...
There's no rule in the rule book.
Is that something? Yeah, is that just
that
something
that has to be shut down?
That just something that we say?
No, it's not.
Benny, I'll tell you right now, both you guys, last night in his 100 whatever pitches he threw, you know how many breaking balls he threw? Zero. Threw zero breaking balls. None. He threw four seamers. He threw cutters. He threw one changeup that got hit for a home run. He's out there pumping Ched by guys. And again,
throwing max effort, even fastballs. Yes, sliders are harder on the elbow. But I'm not saying that he's about to blow out his elbow. I'm just saying that he's only got so many more innings left. If you're an even semi-responsible organization.
Well, wouldn't that help you then what do you want for him now?
You can push a guy like 40 or 50 maybe past his all-time high like they did with Seth Lugo last year. But even if they do that with Garrett Crochet, he's still going to run out of innings in August.
Okay, Ben said, 40 or 50 innings past his all-time high?
Yeah.
He is a converted reliever, just like Michael King was. Would you like to guess his all-time high
and
in
Seth
innings?
Lugo.
90? 80? What does he got?
The most innings he's ever pitched in Major League Baseball is this year. He's already at 82.2 innings.
What was it before this year?
54.
So you're going to
if you and by the way, that was in 2021.
If you trade for him and want him to be in your rotation the rest of the year, you're going to ask him to go 120 innings beyond anything he's ever done before. That's just basically saying we don't care about your arm, we don't care about anything. If he was going to be a free agent next year and you were just renting him, all right, yeah, go ahead. You know, jockey, go. But if you'd be trading for him, you'd be spending the capital to have him for the next 2 years, and there'd be a good chance you'd be ruining him for the next 2 years by pushing him that hard this year.
I just don't know that you can say that.
Nothing's for sure.
Of course it's a risk,
That's the common thinking in baseball right now.
Oh, believe me. I know it. I absolutely know it, and I think... I mean, Chris Ello probably disagrees with me or disagrees with you guys. We heard him on the roundtable talking about it yesterday. There's ways to, with guys like Vasquez, if you don't have to trade a Vasquez or a Burrito, or like, there's ways to manipulate innings. There's ways to get innings. There's ways to manipulate. There's ways to keep guys fresh and healthy for September, October.
But that's better when you're one of those teams that knows you're going to be there in October. Like, if you're 7-8 games up right now, sure, trade for Garrett Crochet.
Sure. That's a good point.
Put him a nice month-long stint on the injured list for whatever to rest his arm and bring him back in September. When you're a team like the Padres and you've got 9 teams that are a game and a half behind you, you don't have the luxury of trading, you know, massive prospects for an ace and then just sitting him for 2 months because, hey, yeah, we'll just wait, break him out in October.
You don't have to sit him. Like I said, there's creative strategies to all of this,
they're trying to do with Michael King already.
Right. And so
how many pitchers can you have that you're not willing to, you know, really go out and let loose? The guys who the Padres are willing to let loose, Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove,
yeah, they're hurt.
Aren't pitching at all.
Correct.
They don't have any of those workhorses anymore.
What does that tell you?
They have no workhorses.
What does that tell you? That nobody knows anything. And you watch him last night, an absolutely dominant performance. I was on the, oh, crap, I'm nervous about it, too. And I still would be nervous about it. But he's really good. I mean, he's a really, really good player. And again, like, if you could get him without having to give up, you know, Leodalis DeBrees or Ethan Salas.
Well, at the very least, one of those four, if not two of them.
There's no proof to that. No.
I just don't think that for 2+ years of control for the guy as talented as he is, they're not taking Eggy and Graham Pauly, and that's it. That's just, they're not.
They might take Snelling or Lesko.
I think they're going to want more than they got for Dylan Cease.
I'm more open to trading a pitching prospect for a pitcher, because you're hoping that pitching prospect turns into Garrett Crochet.
Or Dylan Cease,
You could just have Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
But when you talk about these younger position players who play every day, you know, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. It is. Again, these aren't decisions that I'm going to have to make. But again, I watched last night some of his start, and I went, that is certainly tantalizing. To say the least.
Speaking of pitchers, are you willing to invest in any of them that are currently on the roster with a longer-term deal? We talked about it a little bit in the roundtable. We'll resume that discussion right after. Check traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, like the rest of you, I don't know what the Padres' finances look like going forward. I don't know what's going to be authorized for spending and what's not, whether it's A.J. Preller or someone else. But you need players, and you have a few good ones who are already on your team who are approaching free agency either this year, next year, or in the foreseeable future. And we talked on the roundtable about if you're going to go out and invest in another long-term deal, and Adam says, I don't even know that they can't invest on one more long-term deal, but you want to keep Luis Arraez. You want to keep Ha-Sung Kim from becoming a free agent next season. You want to keep one of your pitchers like Dylan Cease or Michael King beyond next year. Or you want to lock up a young player like Jackson Merrill on a friendly, team-friendly deal for like a 10-12-year contract. Where are you investing that money if there is at least some money to be invested in the next, you know, 6 to 12 months for a long-term deal?
Honestly, like, and people can call in with your ideas, 833-288-0973. I look at what Dylan Cease is probably going to command, and it's exorbitant. It's exorbitant. And I look at what, hell, Michael King, if he keeps it up, it could be exorbitant as well. I look at Luis Arraez as the guy that I want to keep here. I know, you know, we talked about it yesterday. I know he doesn't have much, if any, defensive value. I know, and Craig was talking about, doesn't have much, if any, base running value. He's an elite hitter. He's an elite hitter. And he does not fit, I don't think, on every single team, which is why we've seen him move around. He's such a good hitter, though, that he doesn't deserve to be on four teams in like 5 years. And if he ends up moving on from the Padres, that's exactly what will happen. I'd like to keep him here because reasons. Number one, table setter, whatever. Can play a couple of different positions for you. But also, he fits here culture-wise. He fits here because he's a good hitter, and we need good hitters. And I don't think he's going to cost a fortune.
Everything you said is pretty much right. Here's my only concern. The Padres need pitching. They don't have that much, honestly. They have the aging and now injured Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish. They have Dylan Cease and Michael King, but not beyond next year. They've traded most of their top pitching prospects like Mackenzie Gore and Drew Thorpe in order to win now. What now? Robbie Snelling and Dylan Lesko are two of their top four prospects. They're both struggling in the minor leagues this year. That may be temporary, but it also could be a sign that they're not going to break through and become big-time Major League Baseball pitchers. Who's going to pitch for this team in 2026 and 2027? Who are those guys? You can't draft them now. They won't be ready. So are you going to go out and spend in free agency? Where are you going to get pitching if you don't invest in one of these guys? And for me, it would be Michael King. I agree with you. I think Dylan Cease is great, but he's going to be paid more than he's worth. Michael King, if you did it now, you might be able to get him at at least somewhat reasonable price.
But why do I really care about who's pitching for this team in 2026 when in 2026, you know?
Well, your top two players in the minor leagues are position players.
Sure.
In Salas and DeVries.
Right.
I don't know that they'll work out either, but you have some, you know, hopefully some offense and position players coming up through the pipeline. I'm not as confident about the pitching that's coming up.
Great, but you look at how our rotation is built right now, and I don't know, I don't know the kind of money they're going to have. The luxury tax resets next year, as you mentioned yesterday.
Vasquez, Brito, are they long-term rotation pieces, do you think?
Potentially. Yeah, maybe. they have as much potential, if not more, than a couple of the guys that you just mentioned. Are we worried that if it is A.J. Preller in charge, are we worried that he won't be able to build a rotation? Because we've run out of pitching at the end of every year, but there's, for the most part, been pretty solid rotations. Some of them were overpaid, certainly. Some of them were not. Some of them were kind of steals. And
Lugo and Waka were steals last year.
Absolutely.
Wish we could have kept Lugo this year.
Me and you both.
And I said that at the
16
time.
16 mil, man. Would have got
said
it done.
That in the offseason. Yeah. Just
pick
come up with another couple million.
Pick it up.
Keep Seth Lugo. Boy, he's been fantastic for the Royals this year.
Yeah, you saw some. We all saw something in Seth Lugo that he said, this is not what I'm going to
be. And they
in.
Offered. They did.
Yep.
It's not like they just said, well, we don't need you. They just couldn't out-offer the Kansas City Royals.
I don't need to extend Jackson Merrill right now. I think the one I'm potentially most worried about is Jurickson Profar. Like, he's going to be the
but
one that's so
had,
interesting.
If you had said that about Fernando Tatis Jr. back a few years ago and didn't give him his statue contract.
Where's he going? You would have still had him under control.
Yeah,
right,
but
now
he'd be much more expensive if you wanted to keep him.
And
much more expensive.
And Jackson Merrill may be in, but is he worth
gambling on? If you could get him right now for, you know, buyout the first 3 or 4 years, give him
an
eight or nine, you know, $200 million, and front you backload it, so it wouldn't necessarily cripple you early because, you know, he's making the minimum for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think you can wait.
Give him a little more now, you know, for less later, and it's backloaded. You know, do you think about that at this moment?
Oh, I think so. I think you think about it, but I
think you bet. The talent's certainly there, but you want to bet on the guys who have the right makeup, and Jackson Merrill clearly has the right makeup. I'd be stunned. I don't know if he's ever going to be a, you know, 30 to 40 home run guy, but I know he's going to be an integral cog to a team. He's got that He's just got that it factor.
Problem is this, and
like Tatis had.
The chat is going wild. Now listen, the guy that you could trade if you had to is Ha-Sung Kim. I don't want to. I it's such a conundrum because you don't feel like A, you can pay him. You don't feel like you can.
Like he's a rental player. You're not going to get much in return for Hustle.
No, I mean, you could get pitching prospects and, you know, that would help restock your pitching, right. And then you could focus on a rise, perhaps, if you did that. Problem is, the team that needs Ha-Sung Kim, probably more than any of them,
is
the one that
north.
We don't want to send
yeah,
him
that's
to.
That's not happening.
That's the one that would probably overpay a little bit right now for Ha-Sung Kim.
Bobby Miller.
Yeah.
Done.
I mean, yeah.
It's done.
They'd probably think about it, too.
I know they wouldn't.
I don't know. They might.
There's no way.
They got a lot of pitching.
Woods. They do.
I don't want to do it, though.
I'm not doing it.
I don't want to do it.
Not doing it. It's not
come back.
Happening.
More of this conversation next. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Frozen Rope Summer Baseball League and Camps. Today is the last day to call to register your ball player age 6 through 12 for the Baseball Summer League. Going to be awesome summer of player development featuring Bo Woods. Competition registration closes today. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com.
And hey, good luck, Coach Kurt. You got your hands full, bud.
Obviously, no Padres wrap up with no game yesterday, which is fine. Everybody needs a day off. However, it'll be the interesting, interesting scenario today that both teams, Padres and Mets, are coming off walk-off home run wins. Padres, of course, coming off two straight.
Yeah.
And the Mets got a walk-off home run yesterday by J.D. Martinez. First one of his career.
Which is amazing to think
about.
Two-run
shot in the bottom of the ninth to beat the Miami Marlins 3-2. Yeah, J.D. Martinez, never with a walk-off.
Jackson Merrill's got a walk-off home run, and he's tied with J.D. Martinez for walk-off home runs in his his eight-week MLB career. J.D. Martinez has been doing it for a long time.
They did win the series. And the last two games, I don't know if that's a sign that the Mets are emerging from any of their early season struggles. They definitely have too many players underperforming, and their pitching staff has not been good. It's been ranked, I think, in the bottom five in all of baseball. So, you know, hopefully the Padres have a chance to take advantage. But, you know, today it's Sean Manaea on the mound, the old number five starter for the Padres against the new and improved number five starter in Matt Waldron, who will go back out after allowing just five runs in his last five starts. He's on the best run of his career right now. I actually get excited for Waldron days. I used to dread, oh no, it's Matt Waldron day. What are you going to get? Is he going to give up a bunch of early runs? Now I'm actually looking for Matt Waldron pitches and unleashing his knuckleball and, you know, how he's been throwing it lately. So that's your matchup tonight.
You hope that it continues. Manaea actually started pretty decently for the Mets this year. And then June hit, Benny. He's 0-2 in June with a 10.61. He is a left-handed pitcher, though. And again, knowing that the Padres have still continue to scuffle against left-handed pitching, it's a crapshoot. You know, it's a total crapshoot. You just don't know who's going to show up and if they're going to be able to scratch out any runs. And you do feel a lot better with the way that Waldron's pitched, that he can keep you in the ballgame, certainly, and you can get to Manaea and get into that bullpen.
Also, speaking of pitchers, really good day yesterday for future Padre Garrett Crochet. Seven innings, two hits, one earned run, 13 strikeouts. Future Padre Michael Kopech blew the lead but vultured the win as the White Sox beat the Mariners 3-2.
You're feeling that. Are you speaking that into existence?
I don't even know if I want it now. After talking to Eno yesterday, I think, and, the point that was made that as good as he's been, and he's had ace stuff, and he showed it again yesterday.
It was unbelievable yesterday.
How many more innings does he have left this season? Now I'm domed out that you'll trade for him, and he's got like three starts left this year.
At some point, though, we have seen in baseball, guys get injured and then stay healthy. That has happened.
It has.
Yes, in the history of baseball, guys have gotten injured, had a long road back to recovery, and then have stayed healthy for a couple of 3 years. That's
specifically in Crochet's case, it's not necessarily a case of will he stay healthy. It's more of an innings limit because he's never done it. He's coming back from a previous injury, and it's on a non-competitive team.
Okay.
If they don't trade him.
Who's going to want a ton for him because he's their best player and has lots of control. He'll have value probably even more so in the next 2 years. But you need him. You need him now. I mean, you're trying to win right now, and if he can't go more than 50 or 60 more innings, and you're giving up
a huge
price tag to acquire him, but does that really help the San Diego Padres?
Again, where
there's no rule in the rule book.
Is that something? Yeah, is that just something that has to be shut down? Is that just something that we say?
No, it's not.
Benny, I'll tell you right now, both you guys. Last night, in his 100 whatever pitches he threw, you know how many breaking balls he threw? Zero. Threw zero breaking balls. None. He threw four seamers. He threw cutters. He threw one changeup that got hit for a home run. He's out there pumping Ched by guys. And again, throwing
max effort, even fastballs. Yes, sliders are harder on the elbow. But I'm not saying that he's about to blow out his elbow. I'm just saying that he's only got so many more innings left. If you're an even semi-responsible organization.
Well, wouldn't that help you then what do you want for him now?
You can push a guy like 40 or 50 maybe past his all-time high like they did with Seth Lugo last year. But even if they do that with Garrett Crochet, he's still going to run out of innings in August.
Okay, Ben said, 40 or 50 innings past his all-time high?
Yeah.
He is a converted reliever, just like Michael King was. Would you like to guess his all-time high in Seth Lugo?
90, 80? What has he got?
The 60? Most innings he's ever pitched in Major League Baseball is this year. He's already at 82.2 innings.
What was it before this year?
54.
So you're going to...
54 innings. By the way, that was in 2021.
If you trade for him and want him to be in your rotation the rest of the year, you're going to ask him to go 120 innings beyond anything he's ever done before? That's just basically saying we don't care about your arm. We don't care about anything. If he was going to be a free agent next year and you were just renting him, all right, yeah, go ahead. You know, jockey, go. But if you'd be trading for him, you'd be spending the capital to have him for the next 2 years, and there'd be a good chance you'd be ruining him for the next two years by pushing him that hard this year.
I just don't know that you can say that. I just don't know that you can say it. Of course, it's a risk.
That's the common thinking in baseball right now.
Oh, believe me, I know it. I absolutely know it, and I think... I mean, Chris Ello probably disagrees with you guys. We heard him on the roundtable talking about it yesterday. There's ways to, with guys like Vasquez, if you don't have to trade a Vasquez or a Burrito, there's ways to manipulate innings. There's ways to get innings. There's ways to manipulate. There's ways to keep guys fresh and healthy for September, October.
But that's better when you're one of those teams that knows you're going to be there in October. Like, if you're 7-8 games up right now, sure, trade for Garrett Crochet.
Sure. That's a good point.
Put him a nice month-long stint on the injured list for whatever to rest his arm and bring him back in September. When you're a team like the Padres and you've got 9 teams that are a game and a half behind you, you don't have the luxury of trading, you know, massive prospects for an ace and then just sitting him for 2 months because, hey, yeah, we'll just wait, break him out in October.
You don't have to sit him. Like I said, there's creative strategies to all of this,
they're trying to do with Michael King already.
Right. And so
how many pitchers can you have that you're not willing to, you know, really go out and let loose? The guys who the Padres are willing to let loose, Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove,
yeah, they're hurt.
Aren't pitching at all.
Correct.
They don't have any of those workhorses anymore.
What does that tell you?
They have no workhorses.
What does that tell you? That nobody knows anything. And you watch him last night, an absolutely dominant performance. I was on the, oh, crap, I'm nervous about it, too. And I still would be nervous about it. But he's really good. I mean, he's a really, really good player. And again, if you could get him without having to give up, you know, Leodalis DeBrees or Ethan Salas.
Well, at the very least, one of those four, if not two of them.
There's no proof to that. No.
I just don't think that for 2+ years of control for the guy as talented as he is, they're not taking Eggy and Graham Pauly, and that's it. That's just, they're not.
They might take Snelling or Lesko.
I think they're going to want more than they got for Dylan Cease.
I'm more open to trading a pitching prospect for a pitcher, because you're hoping that pitching prospect turns into Garrett Crochet.
Or Dylan Cease, right.
You could just have Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
But when you talk about these younger position players who play every day, you know, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it is. It is. Again, these aren't decisions that I'm going to have to make. But again, I watched last night some of his start, and I went, that is certainly tantalizing. to say the least.
Speaking of pitchers, are you willing to invest in any of them that are currently on the roster with a longer-term deal? We talked about it a little bit in the roundtable. We'll resume that discussion right after. Check traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, like the rest of you, I don't know what the Padres' finances look like going forward. I don't know what's going to be authorized for spending and what's not, whether it's A.J. Preller or someone else. But you need players. And you have a few good ones who are already on your team who are approaching free agency either this year, next year, or in the foreseeable future. And we talked on the roundtable about if you're going to go out and invest in another long-term deal, and Adam says, I don't even know that they can't invest on one more long-term deal, but you want to keep Luis Arraez. You want to keep Ha-Sung Kim from becoming a free agent next season. You want to keep one of your pitchers like Dylan Cease or Michael King beyond next year. Or you want to lock up a young player like Jackson Merrill on a friendly, team-friendly deal for like a 10, 12-year contract. Where are you investing that money if there is at least some money to be invested in the next, 6 to 12 months for a long-term deal?
Honestly, and people can call in with your ideas, 833-288-0973. I look at what Dylan Cease is probably going to command, and it's exorbitant. It's exorbitant. And I look at what, Michael King, if he keeps it up, it could be exorbitant as well. I look at Luis Arraez as the guy that I want to keep here. I know, we talked about it yesterday. I know he doesn't have much, if any, defensive value. I know, and Craig was talking about, doesn't have much, if any, base running value. He's an elite hitter. He's an elite hitter. And he does not fit, I don't think, on every single team, which is why we've seen him move around. He's such a good hitter, though, that he doesn't deserve to be on four teams in like 5 years. And if he ends up moving on from the Padres, that's exactly what will happen. I'd like to keep him here because reasons. Number one, table setter, whatever. Can play a couple of different positions for you. But also, he fits here culture-wise. He fits here because he's a good hitter, and we need good hitters. And I don't think he's going to cost a fortune.
Everything you said is pretty much right. Here's my only concern. The Padres need pitching. They don't have that much, honestly. They have the aging and now injured Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish. They have Dylan Cease and Michael King, but not beyond next year. They've traded most of their top pitching prospects like Mackenzie Gore and Drew Thorpe in order to win now. What now? Robbie Snelling and Dylan Lesko are two of their top four prospects. They're both struggling in the minor leagues this year. That may be temporary, but it also could be a sign that they're not going to break through and become big-time Major League Baseball pitchers. Who's going to pitch for this team in 2026 and 2027? Who are those guys? You can't draft them now. They won't be ready. So are you going to go out and spend in free agency? Where are you going to get pitching if you don't invest in one of these guys? And for me, it would be Michael King. I agree with you. I think Dylan Cease is great, but he's going to be paid more than he's worth. Michael King, if you did it now, you might be able to get him at at least somewhat reasonable price.
But why do I really care about who's pitching for this team in 2026 when in 2026,
Well, your top two players in the minor leagues are position players.
Sure.
In Salas and DeVries.
Right.
I don't know that they'll work out either, but you have some, hopefully some offense and position players coming up through the pipeline. I'm not as confident about the pitching that's coming up.
Great, but you look at how our rotation is built right now, and I don't know, I don't know the kind of money they're going to have. The luxury tax resets next year, as you mentioned yesterday.
Vasquez, Brito, are they long-term rotation pieces, do you think?
Potentially. Yeah, maybe. they have as much potential, if not more, than a couple of the guys that you just mentioned. Are we worried that if it is A.J. Preller in charge, are we worried that he won't be able to build a rotation? Because we've run out of pitching at the end of every year, but there's, for the most part, been pretty solid rotations. Some of them were overpaid, certainly. Some of them were not. Some of them were kind of steals. And
Lugo and Walker were steals last year.
Absolutely.
Wish we could have kept Lugo this year.
Yep, me and you both.
And I said that at the time.
16 mil, man. Would have got it done.
Said that in the offseason. Yeah. Just Just pick come up with another couple million.
Pick it up.
Keep Seth Lugo. Boy, he's been fantastic for the Royals this year.
Yeah, you saw some. We all saw something in Seth Lugo that he said, this is not what I'm going to
and
be.
And they offered. They did.
Yep.
It's not like they just said, well, we don't need you. They just couldn't out-offer the Kansas City Royals.
I don't need to extend Jackson Merrill right now. I think the one I'm potentially most worried about is Jerickson Profar. Like, he's going to be the
but
one that's
if you
so
had,
interesting.
If you had said that about Fernando Tatis Jr. back a few years ago and didn't give him his statue contract.
Where's he going? You would have still had him under control.
Yeah,
right,
but he'd be much more expensive if you wanted to keep him. And much more expensive.
And Jackson Merrill may be in, but I just
is he
don't.
Worth, is he worth gambling on? If you could get him right now for, you know, buy out the first 3 or 4 years, give him
an
eight or nine, you know, $200 million, and front you backload it, so it wouldn't necessarily cripple you early, because you know he's making the minimum for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think you can wait.
Give him a little more now, you know, for less later, and it's backloaded. You know, do you think about that at this moment?
Oh, I think so. I think you think about it, but
I think you bet. The talent's certainly there, but you want to bet on the guys who have the right makeup. And Jackson Merrill clearly has the right makeup. I'd be stunned. I don't know if he's ever going to be a 30 to 40 home run guy, but I know he's going to be an integral cog to a team. He's just got that it factor.
Problem is this, and
like Tatis had.
The chat is going wild. Now listen, the guy that you could trade if you had to is Ha-Seong Kim. I don't want to. It's such a conundrum because you don't feel like, A, you can pay him. You don't feel like you can.
But he's a rental player. You're not going to get much in return for Ha-Seong.
No, I mean, you could get pitching prospects that would help restock your pitching,
right.
And then you could focus on a rise, perhaps, if you did that. Problem is, the team that needs Ha-Seong Kim, probably more than any of them,
is
the one that we
north.
Don't want to send him
that's
to.
That's not happening.
That's the one that would probably overpay a little bit right now for Ha-Seong Kim.
Bobby Miller. Yeah,
done. I mean, yeah,
it's done.
They'd probably think about it too. I don't know. They might.
There's no way.
They got a lot of pitching.
They do.
They do. I don't want to do it though.
I'm not doing it.
I don't want to do it.
Not doing it. It's not
Come
happening.
Back. Shut More of this conversation next.